even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to Q School. That's at least the thought of the working title of this thing. But anyhow, this is going to be a series where I'm going to try to dig into crazy things that are in the history of QAnon, events that you see QAnon talking about all the time. And today I'm joined by Stephanie, a.k.a. Dreads. Thank you for being here to be the interviewer or the person who pushes me to try to be more coherent and explain this better to the normies, the people that are not brain poisoned by QAnon.
Thank you for having me. And this is, you know, there's a lot about QAnon I don't know, and I really need to learn. So it works on two levels.
Yeah. So the story of the George H.W. Bush funeral and the envelopes begins with one of the common things that happens with Q, which is Q posts gibberish and basically forces QAnon to try to decipher what he's talking about. And what I mean by this is the first reference to D5 is in Q drop 1332. So pull out your quibble and keep skipping pages till you get to the proper drop. No problem. I'm here for you. And it states...
Now, what's D5?
We're getting into D5. This is the thing. Okay. This is the problem, because D5 has never been figured out. That's the point. The Q drop reads, "Fellow patriots, what you are about to learn should not only scare you, but intensify your resolve to take back control, pillbox freedom. The information that shall become public will further demonstrate the criminal and corrupt brackets, pure evil, abuse of power that the Hussein administration undertook in joint efforts with domestic and foreign dignitaries. The snowball has begun rolling. There is no stopping it now. D5, stay the course and trust the plan. Protective measures are in place. Remain brave, all caps. We knew this day would come." A link to a YouTube video. "United we stand, worldwide. Where we go on, we go all. We fight. Conspiracy no more. Q." So D5 is just randomly thrown into that Q drop, and it has no context. It has no meaning. And then in Q drop 1401, there's a link to a Breitbart article, and it says, "God bless the United States of America, D5 Q." And that is basically what happens here, is that Q has a series of drops that end with him posting D5 above the Q. And there's really no, there's still no context for this. And this is a lot like the early Q drops, where he would post nonsense like Godfather 3, Speed, I think Flight of the Valkyries. It was just this thing where Alice in Wonderland. Q just loved putting like a random nonsense thing into the Q drops to just make people go running, make people try to figure out where this is coming from. And so this was the latest and greatest one of these, where it's like, here's a thing I'm saying. What does it mean? You figure it out. And a lot of this is designed to be a sort of thing where if someone comes up with a good theory behind it, Q might take credit for it. And then everyone will be really happy. So, yeah. This is the starting point, is D5. So, D5 begins, and from D5, we get to the Huber hearing. Do you remember Huber from the early QAnon days? I'm going to take Stephanie.
No, I don't even know who that is. I don't know a lot of the technical details, just like the basics, really.
So Huber is John Huber, who was one of the lawyers that was tasked with, chasing down Uranium One and all that kind of stuff. He was working under Jeff Sessions, and and let's just put it bluntly, Trump wasn't very happy with him. Trump's quote about Huber was that he did absolutely nothing and was a garbage disposal unit for important documents. So one of Q's guys that he told us to trust, because Huber got himself a trust at one point, which is, of course, the ultimate seal of approval from Q. So Huber was supposed to be the guy that was going to bring down the deep state. And there was all this talk about all these people working under Huber who were going to be part of the, quarter million sealed indictments and all that good stuff. And so after all of this big talk, after all of this hype around Huber, we eventually get to the announcement that there is going to be a hearing, and that hearing is going to be one where John Huber is going to give testimony to a Republican congressional committee. And this is after the 2018 midterms, when the Democrats won the House, and Q is kind of reeling, because Q had been, it was really funny, but the comparison between how Q acted before the 2018 midterms and the way Q acted for the presidential election. In 2018, Q was like, vote and bring a friend. You got to vote. We're going to take out the deep state. We got him. In 2020, Q barely even posted in the last month or so before the election. Q was reading the polls, and Q saw that sleepy Joe Biden was going to smash the God Emperor. And he wasn't really too gung-ho about, sticking up for his boy, for his orange daddy. And so Q had been hyping up the fact that if the Democrats didn't win at least the House in the 2018 midterms, that'd basically be the end of them, that they would cease to be a relevant political party in America. And then the Democrats did win the House, and QAnon was like, yo, Q, what's going on, buddy? Care to explain yourself? How did the Democrats cheat and steal the House from us? And Q was spinning it and was just like, hey, man, we were just concerned about the Senate. Blah, blah, blah. All that mattered was the Senate. We're all good. We got this. Don't worry. Everything's cool, good in the hood. We're all set. So all that stuff was going on. So after that was happening, in the lame duck period between the election and the swearing in of the new Congress, the Republicans are holding a hearing. And while they're holding that hearing, Huber is going to testify. And Q's getting everybody riled up for it. He's like, oh shit, here it comes. Huber's going to come in and he's going to give out, he's going to give the goods, and he's going to bring down the deep state. Oh, it's happening now. Oh man. And so Huber's big meeting is scheduled for December 5th. And so now QAnon starts baking. December 5th, D5. That's it. That's what Q was talking about this whole time. This meeting, this hearing. Q's power of prophecy was so strong that he knew from the jump that this was what was going to happen. So now everyone's really crazy about this hearing because, oh man, I mean, Huber's going to get him. He's going to expose the deep state. He's going to expose all the mole children, all that good stuff. And of course, what's really funny about this is that the first Q drop that mentioned D5 was in May of 2018. So Q would have had like 6 months foreknowledge of a hearing that probably got scheduled like a month or so before it happened. So this big hearing is going to happen on December 5th. Lo and behold, that week, George H.W. Bush dies. And suddenly that hearing is postponed a week. And now QAnon starts freaking out. And they're like, oh, shit. Like, George H.W. Bush was basically, like, on life support. And they pulled the plug on him to kill him in order to prevent Huber from testifying and bring the hammer down on the deep state. So, like, that's clearly what happened. That's what the deep state, that's why the deep state did this. Like, George H.W. Bush's death is actually a move on a chessboard. It's just not a very old man passing away from the various illnesses that he accrued from being incredibly old. So you have this moment where now this super important, very big hearing gets delayed. And now we have the funeral, and QAnon is obsessed. And so they're watching the funeral, and they're just like, oh man, what's going to happen here? Like, one of the buses, there's like a bunch of buses taking people to the funeral. And I think one of the, and they were all like marked with placards. And I think one bus was labeled bus D5. And everyone's like, oh shit, that's the bus where they're going to arrest everybody. Ah, we got them now. And so this is the argument that's going on. And then Bush's funeral happens. No one gets arrested. Blah, blah, blah. What's going on? So what?
Well, I was just going to say, like, shouldn't QAnon be celebrating because they hate the Bushes? Because, you know, the paleo conservative movement looks back on the neocons. And honestly, you know, we discussed this when we were talking about loose change. Like, in retrospect, the neocons weren't that bad compared to what we have today. So why, what was it just because of the code that they were all like, oh, George Bush is dead because he was one of, you know, both Bushes were bad guys.
Oh, they hate them, but they were mad that the deep state killed Pappy Bush to prevent Huber from testifying. And like, that was the argument that they were using at the time, was that this was an intentional maneuver by these cabal running murderers to prevent this explosive testimony from being aired that would tear down the deep state and finally expose them to justice. So the funeral happens and nobody gets arrested. And that's very frustrating because something is supposed to happen here. And while this is all going on, then people start watching the funeral and they see that the people that were at the funeral had envelopes, and those envelopes had like something. Basically, you would open the program for the funeral, and then from that program, you would see an envelope that would fall out of the program, and people reacted to the, they sort of looked at them. They'd be like, "Oh, this is a thing that just fell out of my program. Isn't that interesting?" And so what would happen is these QAnon promoters started kind of baking what was going on there. And they were kind of like, hey, man, something's happened with those envelopes. Like Jeb Bush looked at his envelope and boy, howdy, that was a man that looked really upset. And there was all kinds of concern about this. And so then they started like really getting into the weeds about it. And that now they're digging and now they're looking. So of course, what happens at this point is the funeral comes and goes. People are talking about it. It's got traction. There is, I'm not going to say nothing's happening with it, but it's not, I wouldn't say that like it was the barn burner event of the winter, but at this point in time, Q is really high on the hog. He's really feeling his oats. He's got everybody all spun up about, this silly funeral event. But more importantly, Q team brilliantly outflanked the deep state by rescheduling the Huber hearing. Like, because Lord knows, no one could have seen this coming. So the Huber hearing gets moved back to the 13th of December instead of the 5th. And once again, everyone's all jeeped up. Everyone's all hyped up. Like, oh, man, here we go. Like, this is going to be it. We're going to get the truth at last. And because Q is so pumped about this upcoming hearing, he decides to do a question and answer session with the Anons, where they post stuff on 4chan or 8chan at the time. Q grabs things that he's interested in and answers them. Now, this Q&A is very controversial in QAnon because at one point, Q tells the flat earthers to pound sand. That they're just wrong. That the Earth is not flat, and this has made a lot of QAnon very upset that their super secret spy daddy is not a flat earther. So I found that to be that's always been very interesting to me. This is not like a thing where you pass the microphone around, someone asks a question you weren't expecting, you got to answer it, so you do what you can. No. Q was actively seeking out questions, and literally the question was, yo, Q, can you shut up the flat earthers? And Q was like, no problem, my brother. I got you, fam. Flat earth, stupid. I denounce it wholeheartedly, which is just, it's really wild to see, a conspiracy theory like flat earth, like QAnon, its leader attacking another dumber conspiracy theory, just being like, nope, flat earth can go to hell. So that was great.
I do remember that famous, the dear Q, could you shut these idiots up? Is the earth flat or round? And, you know, I remember him saying, oh, you know, no. The earth is definitely a sphere. They're wrong. But then what happened was, I can't remember if this came before or after the AMA, but everyone would like retroactively like be like, oh, but Q said disinfo is necessary. So they used that to like insulate themselves from any answer they didn't like.
Oh, disinformation is necessary was very early on in the Q drops because Q had to explain why they were lying about everything at the start. Because the whole origin of the thing was that Huma and Podesta and all the bad guys were getting arrested ASAP. Like, this was happening lickety-split from when Q started posting in November in October of 19. Jesus Christ, if only this thing was that long living. Yeah, so in October of 2017, Q was posting that, like, this thing's gonna have a bow on it in no time. Like, this thing is done. You have no idea how done this thing is. And then in Q drop 72, which was what I've always considered to be the pivot Q drop. That's the Q drop where Q admits that, oh yeah, everything I said before this was bullshit. And that's the disinformation is necessary Q drop. That's the Q drop where Q is like, look, man, sometimes I got to feed you a line because I'm tricking the deep state by telling you stuff that ain't true. And the deep state thinks I'm telling you the truth, but I'm not. And then they react. And then I, boom, gotcha. Ha, ha, ha. Take that, deep state. So that is where that comes from. The disinformation is necessary. That is way older than when Q just told everybody that the Earth is, in fact, not round. I mean, not flat. Oh, Freudian slip. I just gave it away. Earth's flat. You nailed it. But yeah, so Q does this Q&A, and he's answering questions. He says the Earth is Earth isn't flat, all that good stuff. And someone asks Q what was in the envelopes, meaning what was in the envelopes at Pappy Bush's funeral. And Q says to them, our promise to counter, which is, again, treating this whole thing like it was a series of chess moves on the chessboard where the deep state, the Patriots and Q team schedule they schedule the hearing for Huber to destroy the deep state. Then the deep state counters by murdering Pappy Bush, so he has to get a state funeral on D5, preventing Q team from being able to have their hearing. So Q team then re-raises the deep state by breaking into the programs for the funeral and putting in them, like, literally a threat to everyone at the funeral that they were in trouble and that Q team's resolve to bring down the deep state has not been shaken by the deep state very cunningly and craftily murdering George H.W. Bush. So once Q gave the green light, once Q, like, stated that the LARP was real and that this was something that Q team actually did in the real world to attack their enemies, now it's no holds barred. Now, this is why 6 years after the fact, we've still got like Liz Crokin and Brian Cates and all these people posting videos and memes showing everyone reacting to the envelopes, and like Jeb Bush seems to be like just sunken and crestfallen and miserable, and it's obviously not because he's at the funeral of his father. It's not the fact that his dad died and he's laying his father to rest. No, it has to be this envelope was a threat from Q team to telling him that, oh, you're going down, Jeb Bush. How you like them apples? So this is where the whole thing comes from. This is the origin of this story, is that this super important hearing led by one of the guys that Q told us to trust is delayed by Pappy Bush's death, and QAnon is very upset about it. And Q reassures them, oh no, do not worry, glorious patriots. I'm on top of things. We got this. We're taking care of it. And the deep state has been duly warned and chastised for killing George H.W. Bush to prevent this hearing from happening. So it's all good. Don't you have to worry. So I thought I had the Flat Earth Q drop saved on my computer, but for some reason I couldn't find it while I was looking for it. So it is Q drop 2622, and it is, just to shut the flat earthers up, Q, is the earth flat? Q, no, Q. So, like, Q literally went to find the most inflammatory and insulting question to attack flat earthers with, posted it on the posted it into the Q&A, and then said, yeah, it was like, no, this guy's right. Screw those flat earthers. They can all pound sand. And that's what makes me laugh so much whenever I see QAnon promoters either like trying to be friendly with flat earthers or being flat earthers themselves. It's like, buddy, your super secret spy told you that's bullshit. Your super secret spy was like, you know what flat earth is? Sucks. It's nothing. It's dumb. Stop making us look bad, bro. Q said the moon landing is real. I mean, Q has a very low view of your conspiracy theories, probably. So, like,
well, it's a lot like the Bible, and we can look at the current state of American politics and say that yes, the Q drops are kind of a canon. You know, it's the QAnon Bible essentially, and you even made reference to it earlier. But you know, the Leviticus, the same section that they use to, you know, bemoan homosexuality also tells you not to eat shrimp. So what you see is like the canonized words. And, you know, if you're imagining that Q, like, because Q is like that Christ-like figure where he's like the perfect, you know, purveyor of all knowledge. But what happens is then, you know, those words get into humans. And what are humans? Humans are, we're fallible and we're imperfect. So, you know, and Ferber and Beans and the Watkins, they should have known that this would get out of hand. They should have known you can't put this genie back in the bottle ever. So you're seeing like the biblical interpretations of what came through, you know, hundreds and thousands of years of different, you know, religious ideation.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think that you've literally opened the door for episode two of this thing, because I have a speech to give about conspiracy theories, about QAnon, about the Republican Party, and it's going to be just an annoying stream of consciousness that I've had in my head for a while, and I'm going to need you or someone to just like poke me with a stick when I get too far afield with my nonsense. So I'll appreciate you to be the spaz wrangler, the lunatic wrangler, just trying to pull me back. Hey. Come on, Mike, come on, get back on the track, get back on the trail. So yeah,
we'll have a code if you get off track. I'll just like flash a picture of the Twin Towers.
Yeah. Hey, big guy, sun's getting low. Yeah, just something, anything. Yeah. So we're heading into the final stretch here of all this fun. So as a result, we are going to take our ad break here. So see you all in a minute. Please give me the Dutch Kronars by listening to this, or Swedish Kronars. It's someone. Kronars. I don't know. I want them. They can be translated into American currency, and that is a good thing.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back. So now, the Hoover hearing, it does happen. And again, going into this thing, Q is just strutting around doing literal Q&As and all that good stuff. And the hearing is on December 13th. And it opens with biceps guy from Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, who you might know is the guy who wears way too tight shirts to show off his massive biceps. But today he's in front of Congress, so he actually wears a suit and tie, and he pretends that he's a real lawyer because he's not one. And he is joined by a guy named Philip Hackney. And Philip is just a guy who's into charities and is basically there because the Democrats like just grabbed someone in the 11th hour to put on to give testimony as a counterbalance to Tom Fitton. And these are the two people that are opening our testimony. Now, you might be wondering, where's Hooper? Because he was the main event here. He was the guy that was supposed to bring down the deep state. Hooper does not show up. Hooper is not at the Hooper hearing. So the opening of the hearing is Philip Hackney, who no one's ever heard of, and Tom Fitton basically arguing about the Clinton Foundation and if it is either a giant money laundering racket and a scam, or if it is a legitimate charity that does good work in the world. And so this is incredibly boring. It's just Tom Fitton whining about 501c3 issues and the other guy being like, I don't know about all that, bub. And so the two of them say their piece and they leave. And then what happens is, two more guys come in, and these two guys are, they claim to be whistleblowers about the Clinton Foundation. And their arguments are basically, look, we've found a lot of like just corruption and a lot of like scandalous, no good stuff that's going on inside the Clinton Foundation. And we want to bring this to your attention, to the congressional Republicans. And the Republicans start getting kind of upset with these guys, because when the Democrats on the committee talk to them, the Democrats are basically like, yo, aren't you guys trying to sue the Clinton Foundation to try to make like literally billions of dollars? And the two guys are like, yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing here. But we're also trying to like tell Congress about this corruption. These guys were Lawrence W. Doyle and John F. Moynihan were the two guys that did this. And after the Democrats start like taking a bite out of these guys' asses, even the Republicans start getting mad at them. And the Republicans are like, yo, are you going to give us your evidence against the Clinton Foundation? And they're like, no, we're not. We are not going to give you our evidence against the Clinton Foundation, because we want to use that evidence in a lawsuit, because there's a provision, there's a whistleblower provision in civil lawsuits, where if you are a whistleblower and you come forward with evidence of financial criminality in a group or like in a charity or a business or whatever, but if you come forward and prove that that business entity obtained their funds illegitimately, you are entitled to between 10 and 20% of the money that is recouped from them, because you were the one that called them out. You were the one that exposed and stopped the corruption. So you get a reward for being the whistleblower. So these guys are looking for a massive payout in this lawsuit. I think one of the guys even went so far as to state that every dollar the Clinton Foundation got was corrupt. So they were on the high end looking for 20% of all the money the Clinton Foundation had ever made. And the Republicans were just looking at them like, we're not party to your crazy lawsuit against the Clintons. And if you want us to be party to it, give us your evidence. And the guys were just like, are you going to give us tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, if we do this? And the Republicans were like, no, we are not going to do that. And then those two guys were like, we'll take our chances in court. Thank you, Republicans. Good day. And they just got up and left. So that was the big meeting on December 13th. Tom Fitton blowing smoke, and then two con men showing up and just fucking it up so bad that even the Republicans on the committee were yelling at them. Even the Republicans were mad at them. I think Mark Meadows was the chairman of the committee, and even Meadows was just like, I can't believe this shit. This is ridiculous. This meeting is adjourned. Bam. Just like, because you could just tell after Tom Fitton and the random schmuck that he was up against, when they left, you could just tell that Meadows was like, yes, yes, we've got our sound bites for Fox News. Yes, Overlord Trump shall be pleased. And then these two idiots just come in and just absolutely screw the pooch, just ruin everything. And so that meeting happened on the 13th. And again, Q had his big Q&A on the 12th, just absolutely partying, high-fiving everybody. Guess what happens? Q takes a week off after the 13th. The next Q drop is not until December 19th. Q was just like, you know, I need to lay low for a few days. Don't need anyone to talk to me about that Hoover hearing that I was hyping up so much. And he just shows back up and starts posting stuff about sealed indictments and posting stuff from Sean Hannity and Sarah Carter and John Solomon, all of his favorite like Fox News grifters, and just moves on like nothing ever happened. Never addresses the Hoover hearing again. Never talks about it. Just we're just sticking to it. We're just sticking to posting nonsense. Q drop on December 20th, Q drop 2636, Q, Alice and the Mad Hatter, Q, and that's it. Just Alice and the Mad Hatter, and we're done. Again, this is the rock solid, absolutely irrefutable evidence that QAnon believes in, follows, worships, and kneels before. So, yeah. So that is kind of the whole story of D5, of the Bush funeral, of the envelopes, and all that nonsense. Any further questions or commentary that you seek from me, Stephanie?
Well, it just seems like, okay, well, I mean, you and I both lived in the conspiracy world for a little bit, and we can both admit, looking back on it, wow, it was exhausting. And I just can't imagine, like, I know what it's like to be a conspiracy theorist, but I can't imagine, even as when I was a conspiracy theorist, even at my darkest, lowest points, I wasn't decoding shit. Like, that, to me, it's, okay, gematria is fun. I like to play with gematria. Does it mean anything? No. Maybe you find a really cool number of your sweetie pie's name, you know, when you add it all together, whatever. But I just all the decoding that they do, and just it's exhausting. How do these people like even brush their teeth in the morning? I mean, oh well, definitely not with fluoride. That we know. But I just don't like, even I, when I was in the Sandy Hook stuff, I had a hard time functioning as a human being. And I can't imagine. It's like Beautiful Mind. You know, this guy's brilliant and bright and smart, but he's finding messages written to him in the newspaper. And that's basically what QAnon is, except it's not a beautiful mind.
Well, what it is that these people have their brains rewired for, this is a way to get rewards. This is a way to get a dopamine hit. This is a way to feel better about things, is if you are the one that can figure things out, if you can bake, if you can decode, if you can solve the puzzle, that gains you status, that gains you notoriety. That makes you someone who is looked up to in QAnon and the community. And as a result, now you're massively incentivized to do this kind of stuff. Like Joe Rambo, the guy that's posting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, about how Biden's James Woods and a mask and all that kind of stuff. Guys like him get an audience and they get attention because they're peddling some form of hope, of this psychotic optimism that Trump is actually still running things, Trump is actually still in power, everything is working as per the plan, there is no need to worry or panic about anything, we got this, Patriots in control, blah, blah, blah. And so that is where a lot of this comes from, is that I want to be the next great baker. I want to be the next decoder. I want to be the next Joe Rambo or praying medic or major dad or whoever. And even if you can't do that, even if you're not up on it, having other people bake for you makes the world more cool and exciting, because you get to peek behind the curtain. You get to see that what the truth of the world is that us dumb normies, us regular people, don't get to see. I remember there was a YouTube clip of Adele singing a song at a British award show. And after she finished singing, they did this like swooping shot where she walked off the stage, got into this nice like luxury car, and then the car drove away. And someone pointed out that the license plate on the car had like 3 sixes on it. They're like, oh, we did it. We caught it. Adele's in the Illuminati. We nailed it. Good job, bro. And that's what this game is all about. That this game is all about finding out how the famous person on my television, as long as they're not Donald Trump, figuring out how that person is bad. And I'll never forget someone did a bake on one of Garbage's later music videos to prove that they were in the Illuminati. And it just made me laugh. But the big payoff of it, the thing was for me, was that someone in the replies said, oh man, I thought they were one of the good ones. Like, this person had gone through their life hoping that Shirley and the boys were not Illuminati. And now, gosh darn it, they are. Oh, fiddlesticks. What? This is just so unfortunate. And but this is the thing about the Illuminati game, is that you cannot win it. You are going to lose. You will inevitably be exposed as a Moloch-worshipping, adrenochrome-guzzling Satanist. That's just the way this works. One of the things that I really love, that's always made me laugh, was the Katy Perry Super Bowl was like just an absolute gold mine for Illuminati nonsense. People were baking and decoding that thing for forever. Just, oh man, Katy Perry totes Illuminati, blah, blah, blah. And then that year, like that, basically that week, so like she does the Super Bowl halftime show and then she does the Grammys. And her Grammy performance was like literally her in a white dress singing a song about how awesome God is. And it was just like Katy Perry's just like, I love God and he's the best. And this is a really stripped down performance at the Grammys. I ain't wearing nothing sexy or nothing. It's just me, like just pure white, like body all covered. And just and none of them noticed that. None of them noticed that that performance happened, because we're just here to be super angry at her at all the time. Yep, Katy Perry, By the Grace of God, live Grammys 2015. And you could not find, I mean, this is like the most ridiculously like just Christian performance you could possibly imagine. And of course, these people are just like, nope, unacceptable. She already did the Moloch thing. We know what's going on with her. And it's like, no. Yeah. So it's just that you can never be redeemed. You're always just bad. So
that sounds logical.
It doesn't it though? Doesn't it? I mean, it's just the way it is, just the way these people operate. So yeah, so that's the Bush. That's Bush's funeral. That's the envelopes. That's D5. It's all that in a bag of chips. So hope that was a little enlightening, a little interesting. Hope people got something out of it. So next week, I want to talk about what I call the difference between, say, QAnon and MAGA Anon, and if we can. Like, this, trust me, this is going to be a real mess, but it's been in my head and I really want to talk about it. So I hope you'll enjoy that. I hope you enjoyed this one. If you did, tell people about the podcast, do all that good stuff. Help me out. Patreon.com/pokerpolitics, all that good stuff. Stephanie is part of a group called Doubt, and she wants to give some information about that as to how to contact her at that group. So the floor is yours.
Okay. We're part of the American Information Integrity Alliance, and that is it. We're newly forming. We're in the process of forming as a 501c3. And AIIA, our web address is infointegrity.us. And basically, they are, AIIA is basically the prophylactic to help you from falling into the rabbit hole. Doubt is discussing our unusual beliefs together, and that's my support system and support group for former conspiracy theorists. So where AIIA is the prophylactic, we're the morning after pill. And we're not here to pull people out. You have to already be out because I ain't debating. I ain't arguing. That stuff gets you nowhere. I'm here to offer support to people who have been in the rabbit hole. And the email for that is doubtistheway@protonmail.com. And also, if you already follow me at MC Pasteface, I have a second and public Twitter account now, and that's at Steph in Doubt.
Cool. Glad to have you get that out there for people to hear it. I hope Doubt in this whole thing is powerful. It works. It helps people out. It is not a scumbag chop shop like the Thinking Project. Screw you, Jim Stewartson. Bam! You thought you were safe. No. 46 minutes, the right hook comes in.
He's never safe.
Never safe around me. No, never. You never know, Jim. You never know when it's coming for you.
Boom. Hey, and I'm the cult leader.
Yeah, he's gonna chop that up and make it sound like I'm actually threatening him. Shut up. Calm down, Jim. No one cares. So yeah. So thank you for listening to the first and hopefully more episodes of Q School. This is me, Mike Rains, signing off for Stephanie. Goodspeed, Patriots.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.